Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Does anybody here remember what book we just finished last week? Oh, I hope someone remembers. Thank you. Ecclesiastes. Anybody remember what the final law, much more than a suggestion, what was the final exhortation from Solomon to us? He said, fear God and do what? And keep his commandments. I think that's very, very interesting and so appropriate and timely that we ended there, and we're here tonight with a very strong look at missions from a very, very personal point of view. A couple from our fellowship, two couples from our fellowship that have gone out, and another couple that is about to go out that we're going to pray for this evening. But I just find it very interesting. Here's why. What was Jesus' last command to us? On the very end of the Gospel of Matthew, the very end of the Gospel of Mark. These were not suggestions, they were commandments. What were they? Go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go and make disciples of all the nations. And so I love the fact that over the years, the little over 17 years that we've been a part of this family, we have been charged and found guilty of sending people off into many corners of the world. And tonight, we're going to pray for Shadi and Isabel Francis. I see Isabel. Shadi, you're sitting. You're not sitting in the same row as your bride. I don't get it, Shadi. Do we need to talk? Do we need some marriage counseling right before you go? You're sitting with your brother, right? All right, great. Hey, come on up here, Shadi, and come on up here, Isabel. These guys have been a part of Refuge for a while now, and I want them to tell you where they are about to head off to. And we had a great time of fellowship. Yes, there was coffee involved in it, but we sat down together this morning, and Joy and I got to know Shadi and Francis. I knew Shadi pretty well, but to hear Francis is, I mean, not Francis, I'm going to do that. I'm so sorry. Isabel. Last name, everybody say last name Francis. All right. Okay, spelled just like my middle name. So there they are. There's some information. I want you guys to jot this down. Shadi said, we don't need any donations. We don't need any financial support. If you want to give any way, you can do that. But it would mean the world. Trust me, it would mean the world to them to stay in touch with some of their Refuge family. So jot down especially the email address in the blue, sfrancis@un2others.org, and tell us why you're moving to Dallas, Shadi.
Well,
and Isabel, is this one on?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I wasn't expecting to say anything. I'm here for prayer.
And, yeah, I know.
Here I am. So we're moving to Dallas. There's a little church plant, a little Calvary Chapel there. They've been around for about a year. And
what's the name of it?
Yeah, Lifeline Calvary Chapel. And we just get to serve there. I'm not sure how or even why, to be honest with you, but we feel God's calling us there.
And introduce everybody to your children, too, names of your children.
Yes, we have a 7-year-old son who's in the kids area. His name is Nathan, and
Michelle is 3.5. Yeah. They're excited.
Isabel, how are you feeling about the move?
Well, you're is it a mix? In the wrong week. Yes.
Yes. You guys, they leave, by the way, on Friday. They head out Interstate 10 on Friday. So how's everything going?
Well, it's a tough week. It's hard. I mean, we've been very excited about it for the whole year of preparation, but this week is tough. We get to see the reality of it, count the cost, and it hurts.
Yeah. And you know what? It hurts every time we take somebody that we love and we say, you know, go and do what God has called you to do. It's wonderful in one way because, you know, it's kind of multiplying what God allows us to do here, and it gives us long arms to stretch out in other places around the world and around the U.S. But there's a great need in Dallas. Dallas is a big city. It's not a little bump in the road village. It's a great city. And I believe that God wants you guys to know. He is going to use you in ways you could not imagine. He's going to use even your relationship, your marriage, as that's going to be on display of what it means to be a man and wife submitted to one another in the fear of God and raising, you know, wonderful children. And he's going to use you in that fellowship as well. And so this was really fun. Last Sunday, I'm standing up here, and I knew that the days were, you know, sort of winding down, and I looked and I saw Shaddy standing over there, and I thought, oh my goodness, we haven't prayed for him yet, and I prayed for he and Isabel. And so I had a microphone problem both services on Sunday morning, and so I sat down while a song was being shared, and as I walked around, I hugged Shaddy, and what did I tell you?
We need to get together. When is your last day? We need to get together to pray.
There you go. And it was something that was on his heart, too, because he's standing there thinking.
I was going through it pretty good. Isabel was working, and my parents didn't come, and they usually do. And I was like, this is my last Sunday at Refuge, and I love Refuge. I love you guys, and I love Pastor Bill and everything. And I was really going through it. And I was like, you know, Pastor Bill didn't even pray for us. He should pray for us. He should know. Maybe he doesn't know. So I was like, you know, I'm going to tell him. I'm going to tell Pastor Allen. And someone needs to know we're leaving. We need prayer. And right there, God started speaking to me. He's like, you know, I got you. It's how many people are praying for you? And you know, I just started naming them off. And there was a lot of people praying. And I just felt convicted. I'm like, you know what, Lord? I got it. And then a little angel started biting on Pastor Bill's microphone. So the next thing I know, Pastor Bill's walking right up to me. Hey, we need to pray for you. And it was right when I kind of was like feeling better, like, okay, Lord, you got me. And he gave it to me.
Amen. So we're going to pray for these guys right now. We're going to have them go stand in the notorious, the famous crossroads right there. And I want to ask all of you to stand up and give them an opportunity to get right to the middle. And we're gonna pray over these guys. Yeah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. All right. Oh, this is one of my favorite scenes in our life together is when we gather around our brothers and sisters. Yeah, thank you, Father. Shaddy and Isabel, I want you to know this is, you're a part of us, and God is sending you to touch souls in His name. He's equipped you for what He's called you to do. And what we do right now is just acknowledge what God has already done. And so, Father in heaven, we just lift our brother and sister to you, as well as Nathan and Michelle. And Father, we pray that your hand would rest upon them, Lord, in such a powerful way, that you would use them, Lord, in ways that just would just surprise them, blow them away if they knew, Father. We pray that you would give them safe travel all the way to Dallas, Father, and their hearts would click and intersect quickly, interlock with the brothers and sisters in Lifeline Calvary Chapel there in Dallas. And Lord, I pray they'd be such a strength to Ed and to the whole team there, Father, in Dallas. And Lord, we pray that you would just bless their family, that Shaddy and Isabel and Nathan and Michelle, Lord, these would be precious years they would look back on years and years from now on what you accomplished and what you did and what you started in their hearts in ministry in those days in Dallas. And so, Father, in the strong name of Jesus, we commit them to you for your purposes. And everybody agreed, saying, amen. Amen. Now, before you clap, because I know you want to clap, I want to see Shaddy and Isabel's face. Would you guys turn this way? Shaddy and Isabel, I want to say to you on behalf of this whole congregation, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance over you and fill your home with his peace and his grace and his joy and his righteousness in the strong name of Jesus. Go and do the work of God. Go do great things for God. Amen. I said it was sort of muffled in the clapping there, but I want my wife to shout it from the back row, which she always says to people. They're heading off to serve Jesus in one way or the other. I'll let all of you find your seats so you can hear my wife's sweet voice as she says to Shaddy and Isabel. Ready? Here she is. That's it. Do great things for God. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. All right. I want to ask the Fergusons to come on up here, and Jesse, come on up, and the Keenans to come on up. And Jesse and I are going to sit right here. And I think the Keenans are sitting over here. Is this right? And the Fergusons are right there, just so you know who you're looking at. And again, here we are at the end of our study in Ecclesiastes, where it says, do what God tells you to do. And Jesus, closing his time here on earth, telling his disciples, you just keep doing what I tell you to do. And what he told us to do was to go into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen? And are we committed to that or not? Are you committed to that, being a part of that? Okay, I want you to open your Bible, if you would, to Psalm 67. And I want to read this very short psalm to you, with you. If you have it, I'd love for you to read it out loud. Doesn't matter to me what translation you're reading in, even if it's Swahili. We'll read it out loud together. Psalm 67, verse 1 down to verse 7. And notice how many times in here you hear the word nations, people, or peoples. And the words that's used there for people, it's the same. It's like parallel to nations, the nations of the world. So let's read together. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth and your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Verse 5, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. And then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Who wrote that one? Gee, it doesn't say, does it? It's someone who understood the heart of God for all nations. It's someone that knew that God, certainly he loved Israel, but he loved every nation and wanted to use Israel to reach all the nations of the earth. How many of you have heard of John Piper? Anybody ever read anything by John Piper? A great little book by John Piper, Let the Nations Be Glad, and the message comes from this Psalms. And John Piper is the one who said that missions exist in the world because worship doesn't exist in the world. Because in many nations and many corners and many suburbs and many jungles and many neighborhoods of the world, there's not a congregation of his people that are lifting praise to his name. Let all the nations praise you. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. So I love the way that the writer of Psalm 67 said, this will be the outcome. This will be the result of God's blessing upon us. Not just that we are so blessed, but that something pours out of us and all the nations of the earth bless him and fear him and serve him. So that's what our heart is here at Refuge, and we're going to spend some time this evening talking about that. I'm going to let you introduce our missionaries and tell people where these guys are from, Jesse.
All right, cool. Well,
Jesse is our missions pastor, if you didn't know that.
The missions guy.
Missions dude, missions yeah, guy. Missions dude.
I'm just joking. So these are the Fergusons. They are in Nairobi, Kenya.
Show them on the map, I mean the globe where you're at there.
Let's see here. So here
you
is,
better get this right.
Yeah, it's over here. No, so here's Africa, and here's the equator, and here's Kenya, and Nairobi is right above the equator. It's not
below.
Below, that's what I meant. It's right, actually, it is marked right here. It's right there.
All right.
Really small.
I'll give you an A minus.
Yeah, that works. And then you guys need to flip on your mics.
I think mine's on.
Okay, cool. And these are the Keenans. The Keenans have been with us for a long time as well. And this is Teresa and Bob Keenan.
And we're not allowed to say exactly where they are, but
somewhere on here.
You want to identify the region?
It's the Middle East.
Is your mic on? Flip it up all the way. There you go.
Oh, there you go.
Say it again, Bob.
The Middle East. The okay. Middle East.
Hold on.
That's what they do in the Middle East.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're in the Middle East. These guys are in Africa. And do you want to just kind of tell them a little bit about themselves? Yeah. So if you guys want to just introduce yourselves, let them know what you're doing.
Introduce yourself and your ministry, too. Tell people what you're doing.
Well, does this thing work yet? No.
Does yours work yet? Yes, it does. Okay. So yeah, we work at a school. There's three schools in the northern area where we work, and they're Christian schools taught by Muslim teachers. I don't get to teach. I don't have a degree, but I get to interact with a lot of the students I have taught when I was able to. And I do IT work and help the school run a little bit smoother and make sure documents flow nice and make sure the students stay in line by making sure they know the security cameras work.
Tell everybody what your skill set was before you stepped out in the mission field.
A machinist. I made aircraft parts.
Well, and what was that specific?
Oh, CNC machining.
Anybody know what that is, a CNC machine? Well, look at you smart people. Okay. And it just seems, some people it would seem odd to them that a CNC-er would get a call to the mission field, but it's indicative of the fact that not all missionaries, not all workers, cross-cultural workers, are preachers and teachers and evangelists. Whatever you do here, you could do it somewhere else around the world for Christ and also be a real strong Christian presence.
Yeah, a lot of the guys who started up churches in Hungary, they were plumbers and carpenters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I still think it's amazing I get to do this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I think something to note real quick is that we all have a huge asset as being Americans and speaking English. I mean, English is something that is sought after. Almost every country wants people to speak English. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Teaching English is huge in most countries.
This last year I prayed that the Lord would broaden my horizons a little bit because I'm an at-home mom. I've been homeschooling all these years. And the opportunity came up for me to teach English. It's a Christian organization. So the last 6 months has been amazing for me. I've really loved it. I fell in love with my students. And I got to learn a lot more about the culture. And I got to see men and women interact in a classroom setting, which I don't get to see that very often because out on the street, people are very formal. They make sure they don't cross those cultural boundaries. But in a classroom, they're much more relaxed, and it was an amazing experience for me.
Yeah. And you guys are having impact. You guys are having impact on people, whether you're standing behind a pulpit preaching the gospel or you're demonstrating what a Christian family looks like, as we prayed for the Francises as well. And tell everybody where you were before you headed off to the Middle East.
We were in Romania for 6 years, and during that time, I really felt that it was preparation for the next place. The Lord really blessed us there. We got three boys that we got to call our own, and they're still our boys, and we've just been really blessed.
One of them married a refugee.
Yes.
From here, yes.
Our son, Kosi, married Elizabeth, and have three lovely grandchildren through them.
And how many years have you been in the Middle East?
We've been there 8 years this year.
With a two-year break, some of you remember this, a two-year break from the field, they were back here for Bob. Bob, you want to share the news?
Yeah, I was diagnosed with cancer in 2008 and went through 2 years of treatment, but I'm cancer-free now.
Praise you, Jesus.
Praise God.
Thank you, Father. Yeah, amen. Okay.
All right, so... These are the first ones.
Yeah. Talk to us.
Well, we've been in Nairobi, Kenya for 5 years now.
5 years.
5 years, yeah. 5 years in September is when we moved out there. And we've been working with a Calvary Chapel out there called Living Water Christian Fellowship. For a period, I was there kind of like Shouty, not knowing exactly what I was going for, but went with that same thing. I don't know why we're going, but we're going. But then for a period of time, I was the senior pastor there. But God has brought in some leadership there from Kenya, and we've been able to raise up some leadership in the church. And in March, we handed the church over to the Kenyan leadership. We're still there. We're still working with them. But our focus is different now. Instead of me being the senior pastor and leading and everything, it's now focusing on training up guys and women as well for different ministries. We're training up some guys, getting them prepared to actually go out and plant some churches.
Right on.
One young couple in particular, they have the heart's desire is to go plant a church in a city that is 98% Muslim, that is known to drive out Christians, but they're ready to go and go plant a Calvary Chapel there. So that's been our focus for where we're at now in the ministry.
Have them, get them connected with the Kenans too. Have you guys learned any new languages on the field?
I can get by in Romanian, but that doesn't help me very much.
Well, okay. But and how about you guys? Have you learned any can you say something to us in even a marketplace greeting? Let's hear something.
Well, you could just make something up.
Oh, I know. Nobody.
That's right.
Maybe. Maybe nobody, like, one would person might know. But
no, there's one person here that I know in the congregation that would know.
That would know faking. If I made something up. So yeah. I'm going to have my wife do it instead.
Smart man.
Naweza kuongea Kiswahili kidogo. I can speak very little Kiswahili.
Oh, that's what you just said?
That's what I just
that's
said.
What I thought you said.
It's the same thing I said, I think, a year ago, too.
Yeah.
It's the one I have in my back pocket.
Can you say something in Romanian?
Choni. No, that's not. No.
Wrong country.
When you get old, the wires get crossed.
They actually just live in Barstow. They've been faking it all these years.
You're still waiting for something, huh?
I am, yes.
It's okay, Bob, so am I.
Here, let my wife say something.
You speak Romanian way better than I do.
Oh, but I've forgotten how to say it.
You've been away for 8 years, huh?
Mulțumesc, which means thank you.
Cupluceri.
I'm on the spot, I guess.
Two years ago when we were visiting in Romania, he gave his whole testimony in Romanian.
Wow.
Yeah, but there's something about when someone asks you to speak it on command, you can forget it.
Yes, yes. Isabel is from Romania. Shadi's husband is from Romania, and yeah.
Ce mai faci?
What I would love you guys to talk about a little bit is... you're both from, both couples, both families, and you didn't introduce your children. You guys need to tell us the names of your children as well. And by the way, the information that was up there on the screen, it's there for you to copy down so you can, these guys do need financial support and they do need your encouragement. Every email will be a blessing. So if you haven't gotten that copy down, please get that done. But I want you guys to introduce your family too. Tell us the names of your children and... we'll start with you, Jonathan and Adrian.
All right. Well, we have three boys.
Boy.
Yes, please pray for us. Josiah is aged 7. Christopher is 6. And Benjamin will be turning 4 next weekend or 2 weeks now. August 10th.
Right.
And so that's our family so far.
All right.
So far.
Yes, that's right.
Adoption is in the works actually soon.
Oh, praise God. Praise God. Bob and Teresa.
Okay.
Look at that. Bob hands the mic to Teresa for the names of the children.
No, I think he's afraid of the ages. Yeah.
Birthdays.
Okay.
Well, you know, when we were in Romania, Dan, Kosti, and Madian are the boys that we fell in love with and took into our home. And they're still our boys. They're still our sons. They're all about 29 and 30,
wow.
I think, this year. And happy belated birthday, Dan, if you're listening. And then our oldest daughter, Autumn, is 23, and Emberly's 20, and she's the one that just got married
just
in Boston.
Married.
And Josiah is 16, and Faithlin is 13.
Yeah, and they're here with you and heading back to the field with you.
Yeah, Josiah and Faithlin are heading back with us.
Okay. And when do you guys return to the Middle East?
Oh, we fly out of Boston on the 14th of August.
Okay. All right. And when do you guys leave?
We leave Southern California on the 26th of August. We leave the States the 1st of September.
Okay, so we're going to have some time in the crossroads with you guys before you take off, for sure. But I wanted you guys also to talk about, and Jesse, if you got any questions too, throw them in here. But I wanted you guys to talk about this specific thing when God called you from a church that you loved and were very, all of you guys were intrinsically involved in, and just all, you know, tied up in the ministry here. And you head off to other countries in the prime of your youth. Talk a little bit about investing those years of your life in another country. Because I know there are some couples that think, oh, I could never do that. Or, oh, those are my best years. I'll wait until I retire and then maybe I'll do something. But talk about that a little bit. What's it been like to raise your children and continue to build your life on in a very, very different culture?
You got to talk sometime too. You know, honestly, it's been a great experience. It's been one of the best experiences. It's been very difficult. It's very difficult to move to a country that is so different from your own. It's difficult to move halfway across your own country. But when God calls you to do it, you got to do it. Mm-hmm. And So what I say about, you know, for raising our kids, our kids are experiencing things that most kids are never going to be able to experience that age. And, you know, so for me, I look at it as saying it's an amazing experience. Our kids are growing up on the mission field. They're growing up understanding that God provides. They're growing up understanding that God is bigger than just the church in America. They're growing up understanding so many things and so many blessings. So raising kids on the mission field, I think, is it can be difficult, but it's an amazing experience. For myself as well, just being out there now, it's amazing to be wherever God has called you to be. Mm-hmm. And so whether it's working in a factory, at a school, at a shop, on the mission field, around the corner from your house, wherever God has called you, where God has called you, and that's where you need to be.
Now talk very briefly, you guys, about how you knew that you were called to Kenya, and then I want you guys to share a verse or two, if you both have one, if one of you doesn't matter, but just share something from the Word that has really kept you grounded and just given you strength. But how did you guys know that it was Kenya?
Adrienne actually said she always knew, even before she got saved, that if she gave her life to God, God would send her to Africa. That was her excuse for not...
That wasn't a good thing.
No, it was like, I'm not going to go, I'm not going to become a Christian, you're going to send me to Africa. So I guess God actually called her really early. But, we took a mission trip. Adrienne was at the Bible college and took a missions class and fell in love with the idea of going on a mission trip. And so we said, okay, and we called up an organization that was going to Africa, and we took a trip to Nairobi. And by the second day we were there, we knew that we'd end up there eventually. Mm-hmm. It was just something that God was just had put on our hearts, and we started asking the missionaries then, okay, so what's it like? What are the steps we would need to take? Took another trip the year after that, and it was just more confirmation. It did take a while. From the first trip to the time we moved was 4 full years.
Yeah, it always does.
But God confirmed time and time again our calling through His Word. It would always be coming in odd times of just, you know, a time of prayer. I'm asking the Lord a question, then I open up the Bible to a place for my just normal devotions, and boom, there was an answer.
Wow.
Right there. One of the passages that actually has been two or three times involved in our call to the ministry is in Isaiah 43, verses 18 through 21, where it says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Wow. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I get..." I know, how awesome is that? Ostriches, they're in our backyard.
That's the Nairobi Zoo right there.
Our backyard. Yeah. But it goes on to say, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise. Amen. And so it was always about, okay, I'm going to do a new thing with you now. Amen. I've got something new for you. Forget about what's happened in the past. There's something brand new for you. And that's been used a couple of times in our ministry.
That's great.
I'm just going to add one thing and just say, one of the biggest things is, you know, our call to make disciples of all nations. And when we went to Kenya for the first time, we went and we did this street evangelism thing, which I had never done before, just kind of sharing your faith on a whim. And the more we shared our faith with people, we would find crowds of people huddled around our Bible. And you would have people that would call themselves Christians in names, but you wouldn't have them really understanding what the Word of God meant. And we had to stop and to say, like, Lord, is there not enough people to tell them? Because Kenya is kind of a shallow, would you say shallow Christian country. And you don't have a lot of great teaching there. So there's a lot of profession, but there isn't a lot of understanding. There's a lot of witchcraft mixed in with Christianity. So that was really our heart's desire when we saw that need, that there's so many people that want to hear, and they'll actually listen. You could stop and talk. I mean, Jesse was there with us. You could talk to anybody in the grocery store. You can just walk around in the park, and it's like you can share your faith with them, and they'll sit and they'll listen. You can give them a gospel track. They will read it right there. That's amazing, and we don't see that here.
The country, 85% of Kenyans would call themselves Christians, but what they mean by that is they weren't born a Muslim.
Wow.
And so if they're not Muslim, they must be a Christian. Wow. So it's a Christian, it's a Christianity that is extremely shallow, where there's no depth. And so if someone comes in and is ready to disciple, you'll have too many people that will be saying, well, can you come teach us? Can you teach us? Can you teach us? Everywhere we have that.
But we're going to spend some time later on in August with the Kenya team that went with Jesse. But since Jesse's sitting here, what was your impact?
I wanted to mention that we actually went and saw these guys just a month ago. I think it was 3 weeks ago when we got back. So pretty recently. It was, you know, I have to say that, you know, you guys can hear about all these things, and I'm sure it impacts you guys, and I'm sure you can imagine what it's like being there. But there is really, truly nothing like actually being there and seeing what these guys are doing. I mean, I left wanting to help them and wanting to support them and wanting to, like, just help them however I could, because I got to see the relationships that they had with the people there and just the work that was happening, you know. And I got to see just the fruit of 5 years, you know. And anyway, you know, Nairobi was great. I mean, one of the things that I was reminded of and that I keep getting reminded of on these trips is that, you know, we as Americans are very, I think either you said this or maybe one of the other guys said it, but we as Americans are very task oriented. So we want to go someplace and we want to build a house. We want to leave thinking, oh, I accomplished this thing, you know? And so much of what it felt like Africa was about, and what I found out Vietnam was about, it's about relationships, and that's what our trip should be about. It should be, and that's what our mission should be about just in life. You know, it's not about what you do, it's about who you are and who you meet and who you connect with, and, you know, those bridges and those doors that God opens for us, you know. And so I think, I don't even know what your question was, but
that's because you're still on jet lag.
Yeah, that's what I thought about Africa. I mean, it was
that was my question.
It was a really great trip. It really was. Our team was great, and enjoyed it.
How many hours different is it between here and Kenya?
Ten hours.
Jesse came back and took about a week and then went 10 hours the other way to Vietnam. So he really still doesn't know where he is. But yeah. Kenans, would you guys talk about that a little bit too? I want you guys both to share the verses that you shared yesterday. We did a recording with the Kenans. We'll do one with the Fergusons as well. That'll be on the radio. But the two verses that Bob, you and Teresa shared, I would love for you guys to share those, because talk a little bit too about raising your children. All that Faithland has really known is life in the Middle East and in Romania. And she was born while the family was living there. And Josiah was 3 years old.
He was two when we moved.
Yeah, so about that.
Well, the verse, I don't have it memorized, but it's Psalms 16, 5 and 6, and it talks about how the Lord is our inheritance and our cup. And in verse 6, it talks about how the lions have fallen to me in pleasant places.
Yeah.
And that's really how I feel about my life. You know, we've had some really difficult times on the field, some very heartbreaking times. But even through the most heartbreaking times we've had, even in those darkest moments, I have felt like the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. I love what we get to do. I love that on a daily basis, I have to step out in faith. I love that on a daily basis, I have to be in the Word or I feel like I'm dying. And I think that's a good place to be. And as far as raising our kids on the field, I wouldn't do it any other way because the Lord called us.
That's right.
He's faithful. When our three oldest ones were, when we went to Romania, they were 8, 5, and 2. And the Lord asked me to give our kids to him. And I said, but Lord, we already gave them to you. And he said, no, Teresa, unto death. You have to be willing to lose your children for me. And of course, I was looking in the rearview mirror of my car and I could see them all sitting in their car seats and I just began to cry. And I said, okay, Lord, I give them to you. And that was the best, one of the best gifts the Lord ever gave me. Amen. Because of that, I've been able to not worry about them, trust that he loves them more than me, and trust that no matter what happens, they are in his hands.
Amen.
So it's given me freedom.
Here's the verse, let me read it for you. Oh Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup, and you maintain my lot. That means everything that has to do with me, including those kids in the back seat. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. Amen. But jot that down. You need that verse. Psalm 16, 5 through 6. Bob, what's the verse that you shared the other day, the verse that was on your heart too?
I was in country and seeing just the difficulties of getting to the place where we're at. There's several different languages. And it took me about 3 years to learn Romanian to be understandable, not fluent, just understandable. And while I was there, God gave me a verse in 1 Chronicles 28:10, David's commissioning Solomon for building the temple at this point. And he says, be careful now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. And I really felt that was God telling me that he wanted to build a place in the hearts of the people there for him to dwell in. These are people without their own homeland, and they need to see that God has prepared a place for them in heaven where there's a homeland for everybody.
Yeah.
And so I just said, okay, God, we're coming here then.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm just really thankful that when God called us, we went, because even though our children were young and people kept saying, you guys are crazy. Do you know how young your kids are? And we really didn't. I mean, until we look back at pictures and I think, oh my gosh, they were young. What were we thinking? But if we would not have went and waited till our kids were grown and having grandkids, which we do have grandkids, I wouldn't be able to go now because I love my grandkids more than I thought they would. And it's not easy being thousands of miles away from them. And so had we not stepped out in faith 14 years ago, we wouldn't be able to do it now.
Yeah.
That's great. One of the things I wanted to ask you guys, because I think one of the fears that we all have, if God was calling us to go someplace that isn't as comfortable as the life we have here, I think we get afraid of like, oh, is God gonna call us to Africa? And what's it like in Africa? Am I gonna have to live in a hut? Am I gonna have air conditioning? Am I gonna be able to, you know? I don't know, there's a million, you know, uncomfortable things about that we can think of. But what do you guys, how would you guys describe life there? Was it as bad or is it better? Is it, you know, can you guys just describe for everybody, you know, what life is like? Because I know people hear Africa, and I mean, I know I heard Africa, and I didn't know what to expect. But
you had an idea of grass huts, and didn't you?
Yeah, kind of. I put it out of my mind. I didn't want to think about what it could be. I just thought it. But anyway, I just want you guys to kind of like let people know like what it's like there.
Well, Nairobi, where we're at, and some of the other bigger cities there in Nairobi. It has a more Western feel to it than if you were, say, in some of the smaller villages. Big shopping centers, big malls, lots of traffic. Yeah, I mean, We're blessed where we live.
Than what you expected? You know, is it like your expectations when you said, you know what, I think we want to move to Africa?
Well,
or more challenging.
I guess comparing it to like when we first went, because when we moved, we had at least some idea because we had been there a couple of times. But yeah, it's definitely more challenging in some ways. And then
have
other things are much
easier.
Have any
challenges living here? Has anybody faced any challenges living in America? Okay.
Okay.
Just the traffic.
Okay, traffic. Okay, let's talk about the traffic. Everyone complains about the 405. Everyone complains about the 91. The other day, I drove the 91 at 5 o'clock on a Friday night, and I was happy the traffic was not so bad. Okay? The traffic takes me, sometimes on our Tuesday night Bible studies, it'll take me 2.5 hours to go about 12 miles.
Wow. It's bad. It's really bad.
Tell them about that. Isn't like number fourth in the
world? It is the fourth worst city. It's been rated the fourth worst city in the world to drive in. Two cities in India, Mexico City, and then Nairobi. Mm. That's where we're at. So we are in, it is an absolutely, it's terrible. It's terrible. But then we look at our backyard, which opens up on a game park. So we have our morning coffee with zebras and giraffe. It's and ostrich. So, you know, once you get out of the city, that commute, you know, can be worth it sometimes.
I think I saw a picture of you being kissed by a giraffe.
Yes.
Yes. We need to talk.
You got to talk to a couple of the guys sitting right in here, too.
He convinced the others to do it here. You have many that have been kissed by a giraffe.
Yeah, there's quite a few who have experienced that.
What about
you
guys?
You can raise your hands. You've been kissed by a giraffe.
Pete.
That's
right. There we go.
See? Kissed by a giraffe club. Kenan's, what's been the most challenging thing for you guys in the Middle East?
Well, when we first moved there, we were getting, maybe anywhere from 14 hours of power a day to 2 hours a day. But it's really, water every other day. So we had minimal water. We had holding tanks. But then power got really good. Water's still about the same. But we just heard recently, because of the current situation in the Middle East, that our water is not as good and our electricity is not as good. So, but that's an area I know the Lord's had to really work with me. At one point I drove across Romania to this Middle Eastern country with no air conditioning, and I was happy to do it. A few years later, we were making a similar trip from Hungary to that same destination without the air conditioning, was on the fritz in the car, and I was like, Lord, I'm not doing it. If you don't get that air conditioning working in the car, I'm not doing it. And I can be a big brat. And the Lord just said to me, Teresa, there was a time that you were excited to drive there without air conditioning. What's the condition of your heart? So I have to pray all the time, Lord, help me not to put my personal comfort, wherever you would put it.
Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, it's a little bit warm there in the summertime, as you might expect. The houses, I call them glorified caves. They're not insulated, but they generally keep you dry. And if you heat them, they'll keep you warm, and they'll keep you cool if you do it right in the summertime. So, the traffic isn't nearly as bad as Jonathan's city by far. there's no big malls. They're building them right now. The people are really friendly and warm-hearted. That is. If the people were I'm sorry, Isabel, about this in Romanians, but if the people were as warm as Romanians, it'd be very difficult. Because the people are very friendly, and part of the culture is to welcome you into their homes and to be friendly and helpful to foreigners.
Yeah, no, praise God. And let's remember, why do we do this? Why do you guys do this? Why did you go? What is your hope? What's your heart's desire for Nairobi and for the corner of the Middle East that you guys are in? What's your hope? What do you want to see God do?
We're there to make disciples. Amen. We're there to fulfill the Great Commission, and we feel that that's the reason we're there.
Amen.
And I'm going to add one thing, because this is a little word of wisdom from Teresa. Oh, let me not forget. We're there because we're called. And Teresa had given me that little bit. She had told me that maybe a year or two before we're ready to go. And when the Kenans would come back, we would like soak up, oh, you know, give us bits of wisdom because we're going to go. And she gave me this nice little cookbook, but she's always told me that, like, the only thing that's going to keep you there is that you're called, because there's going to be 100 reasons on why to come back, you know. We have small children, you know, we miss my mom, you know. I feel like, you know, when you're walking with the Lord, you lose it, you lose your life, you know, because it's not the plans that you would have had for yourself if you didn't know the Lord. But you gain so much. I mean, we've gained so much. It's so hard to be there in those really, really hard times, and you're looking at your kids and like what Teresa said, like, are we crazy? Like, what are we doing here? We don't really know these people like we know my mom and dad and aunties and uncles and all that time that we're missing out on. But you gain so much.
We need to wrap up, and we need to pray for you guys. And there's going to be some more time with them, especially with the amount of time that you guys have here, and we'll get you guys in the center and pray for you again before you go. But I just want to read this. Well, the worship team's comes back out if they would. We really do need to spend some time this evening just lifting all of this that you've heard. I pray that the one thing that happens tonight, as you guys have listened to an interview, I don't know if you came ready for a Bible study and a verse by verse, but I really pray that these two families have gained support tonight, prayer support, and friends that will write to them and let them know you are not forgotten. And when you're looking at the bills are all paid, and you realize, oh wow, look at that, look, we've got a little bit left over. Maybe God has that earmarked for Africa or for the Middle East, and just be open to maybe including these guys in your support team, so it'll enable their hands and it'll further the work of God there. But to remind you, as the worship team comes back out, the writer of Psalm 67, when it doesn't have a name there, part of me wonders, maybe there was a woman that wrote that. So this might have been written by a sister who said, let the peoples praise you, Lord, let the nations, all the people praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase, and God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us and all the ends of the earth. Everybody say that. All the ends of the earth. Kenya and the Middle East shall fear him. Father God, we just thank you tonight for the Kenans. We thank you, Father, for the Fergusons. We thank you for the Russells in Australia tonight, Father. And I'm going to forget names, Lord, but all of those from here that are serving you in other places. Jesus, we thank you for the rights that are down in Melbourne as well. And Father, we just praise you that you've allowed us to invest wonderful, wonderful people that are serving you in many, many different parts of the world. And we thank you for the Francis family, Lord, that's heading to Dallas. And Lord, that the ends of the earth might hear you, and that men and women and children might fear you and love you and revere you. Father, have your way in these lives. And I pray that you provide abundantly above, beyond, Lord, anything we would ask or even think. For these missions, Father, in these different parts of your world. Thank you, God, for loving the world so much that you sent your Son, Jesus. It is in his name that we pray, Lord. Amen.
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 This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.